So, well, God bless you today. Welcome to Family Church. We got a new sign out there finally. Amen. So welcome to Family Church. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. And today we'll have a time of communion here in a little bit and then a real short video. And who's looking forward to spending time with family afterwards? Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about Easter today, kind of in a Jewish sense, the Passover. And let me just say this before I get going. Everybody on this earth needs to experience a Passover. Did you know that? Needs to experience a Passover. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, of Passover. So let me just talk about, you know, Passover originates from the plagues in the Bible. Remember in Exodus. And is celebrated for the liberation of the children of Israel, slaves from Egypt. Some of you know that, right? So number 10 of the plagues would call for the death of every firstborn son, including that of livestock. When the angel of death passed over the homes of those living in Egypt, the exception was that if those who followed God were to sacrifice a lamb to God and rub the blood of that lamb over their doorways, the angel of death would pass over their homes without taking the life of their firstborn son. This is where the name Passover comes from. Some of you already know that, right? And so just three little things as I continue. Word seder. Seder, a Jewish ritual service and ceremonial dinner for the first night or two nights of Passover when Jews celebrate still Passover. And so today when we take the elements and have communion, it's going to be a type of a recognition and an understanding and celebrating Passover. Celebrating Passover. And then matzah. Anybody ever heard of matzah? A thin, crisp, unleavened bread. Am I saying it right? Traditionally eaten by Jewish people during the Passover. So it was unleavened. It was thin bread. And then that's a matzah. And then akifamun, a piece of broken bread. That's a large piece of this bread, and it would be broken up into pieces. And even one of these pieces, the kids would play a game and take a piece of this unleavened bread, and they would hide it somewhere in the house, and then the kids would look for it. And we just say this, that they would look at this and say, "I found the lamb." And so this piece of bread would indicate, "I found the lamb." This unleavened bread. So let me go over a few events right now. Number one, the events that Easter, the Resurrection Day celebrates, took place in Israel during the Passover. Jesus had a Passover meal just before he gave his life on the cross for you and I, a Passover meal. So the written accounts of Jesus' life, known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Known as the Gospels, record that the events of the last week of his life, Jesus' life, all took place in connection with the Passover. Amen? He came to Jerusalem that week in response to the command in the Torah. That's the books of Moses. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That sound familiar here in this house? In connection with the Passover, he came to Jerusalem that week in response to the Torah, what it commanded you to do, to appear at the temple in Jerusalem for the feast and celebrated Passover with his closest friends, the disciples. And today I hope that as friends we're going to celebrate the Resurrection Day, yours and my Passover, together today. Number two, Jesus celebrated Passover in Jerusalem with his Jewish family every year of his life. Did you know that? He did. The New Testament records that this fact, as well as 3 to 4 of Jesus' adult Passover celebrations with his friends. As a devout Jew, Passover was an important part of the year for Jesus. And he prepared for its observance seriously. And it's no coincidence that many followers of Jesus today, including non-Jews from diverse cultures and backgrounds, have a desire to observe Passover in some way to honor Jesus. And so today, in honoring Jesus, Jesus, the Passover. The Passover. Number three, Passover is mentioned 28 times in the New Testament. It wasn't just Jesus who celebrated Passover. It was all of his early followers as well, all the Jewish people. A matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, one of the first rabbi scholars to become a follower of Jesus, the Apostle Paul taught on the significance of the Passover. Let me read a few scriptures from Exodus, this first Passover. Exodus 12, verses 5 and 8 says, "The animals you choose must be a year." This is what they would, when they had that first Passover, they had to take this animal and they put it over their doorpost, the blood of it. Remember, I just read that. "So the animals you choose must be," what would they be like? "It must be a year old male without defect." It must be a perfect lamb or goat. It must be perfect. No defects. "And you may take it from the sheep or the goats," it says. "So you take care of them until the 14th day of the month," this is from Exodus, "when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frame of the house where they eat of the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast." And see what happened after that first Passover is that they were to eat that, they were to roast that meat and eat it and eat that unleavened bread because they didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. Because as soon as the Passover happened and all the firstborn of the leaders from Egypt, firstborn son of each Egyptian died, all of Israel then was to leave in a hurry, in a hurry. And so in Jewish tradition, the fragment of that middle matzah is understood as representing the Passover lamb. Before eating this bread, all participants are required to say, "In remembrance of the lamb." See, back then, the remembrance of the lamb is that a lamb would have to shed his blood for the sins of the Jewish families, or for once a year for all the sins of the Jewish people. So they say, "Remember the lamb." But even back then, God had a purpose for that you and I today still would stand up and say, "Remember the lamb," but that lamb being Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The remembrance of the lamb. This is very much like what Jesus said when he held up a piece of unleavened matzah the night before his death and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So the Jewish, his brothers, his sisters there that were with him, when they said, he said, "Do this, remember me," what they went back to is, "Remember the lamb." What he was saying, "I am the lamb that takes away the sin of the world." So today, as we move on, let me just say this first and foremost on Resurrection Day. We're here to remember the Lamb. Amen. To remember the Lamb. Amen? So there's a surprising connection. Let me go to the next point. The red wine that they would use in Christian communion has roots in the red wine of the Passover Seder. So today, I've got this cracker. I brought a cracker, right? This is unleavened. Can you tell? And I brought some juice, a little bit of juice. And so we know when he took this cracker and said, he said, "Take this in remembrance of me," what he was saying is, "Remember me, the Lamb of God." And see, this juice or this wine, Jewish rabbis teach that the Passover wine should be red to remind us of the blood of the sacrificial Passover lamb. That brings insight into some of Jesus' often misunderstood words at the last Passover Seder he celebrated with his friends. Just before drinking the cup of redemption, Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of the blood." The new covenant. See, when they would take this, they would remember the cup. They would remember the lamb, the blood that would have to be shed year after year for the remission of sins. They'd remember the blood that went over the doorpost as they fled Egypt, that they had to have that blood over the doorpost, or they could, or they were going to, the firstborn in that home would be killed with the Egyptians. Was it for the blood over the doorpost? It seems gruesome blood, doesn't it? But God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Somebody has to pay the price, something perfect. A little ewe lamb, a little lamb or a little goat that didn't do anything that was perfect would have to give its life and shed its blood every year, year after year, giving its life as a substitute for those who were giving that for their sins, the substitute. So this thing right here, when it said this was also part of them leaving Egypt, representing the blood of Jesus. Amen, the blood of Jesus. Both Passover and Easter celebrate freedom. Let me tell you something. Both Passover and Easter celebrate freedom from slavery. For Jewish people, the liberation from slavery in Egypt is one of the most central narratives of the Bible. At every Seder, the Passover symbols help to retell the story of God's incredible victory over the gods of the Egyptians, achieving freedom by his mighty hand and outstretched arm of strength. You see, but the New Testament explores a different type of slavery, a slavery to the curse of sin and death that humankind suffers under every generation since Adam, every generation under the curse of sin and death. Jesus' resurrection provides a victory over that curse. The promise of a future resurrection for his followers, Jesus is coming again, hallelujah. And the reality of freedom and renewal in this lifetime. Not in a future lifetime. See, everybody has to experience a Passover. A Passover. And so when they did that in the Old Testament year after year, you and I, all of that was a symbolism of when Jesus would say, take, eat. Take, eat in remembrance of me. And what he was saying, behold the Lamb of God. I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. You know, both Passover and Easter teach us that redemption, it must be personal. But let me read this real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled to us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given, Paul saying here, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, my prayer today, this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you'll give your life to him, that you'll believe that he is the Lamb of God, that everybody needs a Passover, meaning, hey, I need someone to pay the price for my sins, no longer done by a lamb or some type of sacrifice. No, the sacrifice was completed once and for all by Jesus Christ. Amen. See, both Passover and Easter teaches that redemption must be personal. Every Passover, the Haggadah, it was a book which instructed each of the Jews from every generation to view ourselves as though we personally were rescued from Egypt. And Egypt today would be a representation of the world. You know, the world will keep you in bondage. The world will keep you in chains. It'll promise you freedom, but it only delivers putting people into chains. There's no freedom in the world. There's nothing that can be promised to you that'll bring eternal life. There's nothing that can be promised to you that'll bring fulfillment in your heart. You were made to live. You got eternity inside you. You were made for a purpose by God. Amen. In reference to the verse, you are to tell your sons on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Talking again. And so for you and I, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, what it is it saying, let me tell you what God has done for me, bringing me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Bringing me out of Egypt, so to speak, out of the curse of sin, out of the bondage and chains, amen. Out of slavery into freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The real power of the story of the Passover is found not in a history lesson, listen, not in a history lesson, but in a heartfelt recognition that it is because of God's provision that each one of us lives not as a slave, but free in Christ. If you understand the Passover. If you understand the Passover. You know, despite what some people think, going to church on Easter doesn't make us a Christian, does it? I used to like what there was a singer back in the late 70s and early 80s says, hey, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I never forgot that. Despite what some think, going to church on Easter doesn't make someone a Christian. An authentic Christian is someone who has embraced Jesus as their personal Messiah. Translated Christos, Greek, Jesus Christ. Their redeemer from, what it does is a redeemer to believe in Jesus, he's your redeemer from spiritual slavery. It's a personal belief in the resurrection of Jesus that leads to a personal experience with the power of that resurrection. You know, the origins of Easter are as far removed from tie-dyed eggs. Don't get me wrong, I love eggs. And later on today, I know there's going to be some eggs that are going to be hidden. They're going to be found. But saints, if our children, grandchildren, if that's all they know about Easter, they didn't come to learn anything about the Passover. So the origins of Easter are as far removed from tie-dyed eggs as the origins of the Passover are from coconut macaroons. I guess that's one of the things they eat on Passover. And although they are certainly two very different celebrations in many ways, Passover and Resurrection Sunday, Passover and Easter share not only themes in history, for the Christian, it serves as a reminder that Jesus is the Passover lamb for the sins of the world. See, the difference between the Passover and Easter is the resurrection. Is the resurrection. Luke 24, 4 through 12, can we read that together? It says that I'll read this, just follow along. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. That behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here. Who's he? Jesus. He's not here. But he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Those were the disciples. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. Can you believe that? And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So what I'm saying is Easter means that Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus being raised from the dead isn't an idle tell to you here, is it? Now, I was talking to somebody, I think it was last week, and we were talking about if this Passover of Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, taking the whips on his back for our healing, by his stripes we're healed, putting that crown of thorns on his head so that we could have a sound mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then And then to put him on a cross and nail him. And then when he is dead, they went ahead and struck his side where blood and water flowed. And then he was put in a tomb and he rose again. I'm telling you, if you believe that a man died for your sins 2,000 years ago, and you believe he lived a perfect life, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, and you believe he's at the right hand of God, if you're crazy enough to believe that, the world will say that's crazy, then you are born again. Then you are born again. Amen. Is there more things when you give your life as Holy Spirit comes in? He begins to bring peace. He begins to show you things that he wants to change in your life. He delivers you, amen, from certain behaviors. He washes your sins away. Certainly, if you have the Spirit of God in you, man, there's this thing inside of you that says, there's more. I want to follow what God has for me. But it starts by believing that this man 2,000 years ago paid the price 100% for you and I. See, you have to have a Passover. See, it's appointed unto man wants to die, then judgment, right? But when you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you pass from death to life. When you've given your life to him, you have your own Passover. So I liken to this now that when my home, the blood of Jesus, I know in it's spiritual, but it's over the doorway of my home. See, the enemy can't come in my home. See, when the enemy comes by, he sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus over my home. He sees it over my family, and he has to pass over because I've applied the blood to my life. Hallelujah. And that is the modern day Passover. Amen. That Passover that happened in the book of Exodus was always to represent the permanent, the one Lamb of God. One time that would give his life, shed his blood. One time. Just one time. And then that blood is applied to my life one time. Just one time. And then the Passover, now that when I walk with Jesus, I thank God now that the enemy can't have my life. Do I have struggles and things that come against me? Yeah. But the battle belongs to the Lord. See, if the enemy can convince you that the Passover of Jesus Christ wasn't enough, then you'll start working at it with your own efforts, your own ability, your own strength. And I'm going to tell you, saints, you'll always end up short. It'll leave you exhausted. It'll leave you fearful. It'll leave you to your own demise. And I don't know about you, but in my own demise, things don't work out. But when I trust in him, the Passover lamb, I put all my trust in him, my faith in him, I can rest in him. I put my rest in him. See, he paid the price. I can't, my blood won't do any good over the doorpost of my heart. It won't do any good over the doorpost of my home. It won't do over, I can't do anything with my own blood for my children, my grandchildren, my friends. It has to be a perfect lamb. And see, since I'm not a perfect lamb, and I'm telling you here that you're not perfect either, the only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. So when my sins were put on that cross, I got a Passover. So that when I stand before him in the future, someday we will see him face to face. And I've come to realize this when I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come into everlasting life. I used to believe it was all these works and things that I did. Could I weigh in the balance? Did I do enough? Will I hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you did enough work for me, come in. No, I realize now that through his Spirit, I put my trust and faith in him. And out of that, the things that God has for me, I do in pleasing him, not because of my self-righteousness. It's because God has placed things in you and I that we can accomplish in this world. And so what it is when I stand before him, I say, Lord, I gave you my life. I trusted in you. And hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into everlasting life. It won't be because of your righteousness that you were able to do good enough. It was because you believed, you were crazy enough to believe in a man who lived 2,000 years ago, who shed his blood, that you get a Passover. That you get a Passover. Do you believe in the Passover this morning? If we can, and we're going to play, I hope we can hear, we're going to play a video, just a short video of Jesus on the cross. It's not real gory. Matter of fact, Jesus on the cross was much more than this, much more than what we'll see here. But just a couple minutes, I want us to hear this video if we can. Go ahead.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive who? I do not need your forgiveness. You have do not have power to forgive. Look at you. I don't know you. I don't know what you have said to be put here. I know little of your teachings. I don't know why they treat you like this when you remain in silence. I only know you are innocent. I am not. You are the Messiah. Prove it to us. Save yourself and us right now. Benjamin! Do you not fear God when you are sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crime. But this man has not done anything wrong. Please. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Paradise? Do you know what he has done? He drags others to iniquity and violence. He is a vile man. Do you know who you are talking to? Don't you know who you are talking to? Yes. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Amen. I don't know if you could hear that, but the one guy said, do you know what he's done? Do you know the vile things he's done? Now, that right there is a depiction of getting a Passover. See, he didn't have a chance to join the rolls of a church. He didn't get a chance to shake a pastor's hand. He didn't get a chance to even prove his righteousness. He simply believed. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Man, do not underestimate the power of faith. The Word of God says, the just shall live by faith. You're putting your trust and faith, a reminder, trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith growing in him will overcome by the power, and then with the power of the Holy Spirit can overcome every addiction in life, can overcome every power of the enemy, can overcome every lie of the enemy. And what it does is in that faith and trusting God, it releases the blessing of God in your life because you become a son or daughter of Abraham, joint heirs with Christ. And when you do that, you can rest in him. You can't earn it. You can't try to prove it. But when you rest in it, then you find yourself wanting to do things that God has for you. So this morning, if there's anybody here, you know, we live in a world today, man, it's serious business. You know, I hear that it's like the devil's been loosed in this country like never before. It's like you hear about another shooting every day. And but mind you, that's people, that's the devil. It's not guns, it's people control, it's the devil controlling people. So you see now we're even every day somebody going ballistic on an airline flight, right? So what's the answer to that? It's trusting in the Passover. And today, so what I'm saying is today is the time, today's the day to, if you don't know the Lord, to give your life to the Lord. See, the enemy is trumpeting, you know, from platforms and TV and everything, the lies of the enemy. So you and I, in this day and age, have to stand up strong and say, I'm standing for the truth. I'm standing for Jesus Christ. I'm standing for what'll set the captive free. See, there's many people like that thief on the cross, amen, that we have to believe that God can save. If God can save, in that situation, save that gentleman right there, man, nothing's impossible for him. So I want to say here, if you haven't given your, and I'm not going to call you up, but I'm not going to have anybody close their eyes. We're past that in society today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you'd like to, we're going to pray together, and you want to accept Him today, be bold and raise your hand. If anybody in this room, I'm just going to take a second and say, I want to accept Christ Jesus as my Lord. Anybody in here? Everybody in here is believer. Everybody in here has experienced the Passover. Anybody? The second group I want to pray for is if you say, hey, I've been away from the Lord. I know the Lord, but I've been running a different direction. I've been trying to run away from Jesus, my Passover. Today, you know what it is? It's just saying, it's just coming back to Him. Repentance is turning around and coming back to Him and saying, Lord, I'm tired of running from You. I'm tired of doing it on my own strength. I'm tired of relying on my own intellect and my mind. Today's the day and say, man, I've had enough. You see, the Word of God says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, humility is saying, I don't have the ability to do it on my own. I'm putting my faith and trust in You. If there's anybody here, we're not going to call you up, just we're all going to pray together. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to entrust my life to the Lord fresh and anew. Anybody here at all? Just anybody? Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. If you wanted to raise your hand but you didn't, we're just going to pray this together, okay? It's good for us to have a confession of faith anyway, isn't it? So can we say with bold voices, Lord Jesus, I believe You are God. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You lived a perfect life. I believe that You rose from the dead. I believe You at the right hand of the Father. I believe You're coming again. Fill me afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love You. We praise You. Lord, I pray for every individual here. Thank You, Father. I pray for the Holy Spirit. I pray tomorrow, Monday morning, Lord, that You'd be on the heart of every individual. And Lord, I pray this would be what would be in their mind and their hearts. Lord, Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray that they'd realize Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your kindness. Amen. During this song, the ushers are going to hand out communion, and we're going to have a wonderful time of communion together. Amen. Thank you.